Thanks everyone for attending. My name is Andreas. I'm a member of the GNU Octave project. I'm a developer for Core Octave, and I'm also a maintainer and a primary developer of a few packages, including the statistics and the data types. I'm an electronic engineer by training, but I've also made a PhD in biological anthropology, so I ended up on a different career path doing with anthropology and basically doing statistics and data analysis in a different context than engineering and computer science. So today I would like to give you my insight about GNU Octave and the GNU Octave ecosystem in education, as I've experienced it during my research time, but also as a lecturer in various universities I've worked over the past 10 years, but also from the maintainers and developers' point of view, because I've been heavily involved with the GNU Octave during the past 4 years, although I've been using it for more than 11 years now for my work and my teaching. So so here we are then, like GNU Octave in education, an insight beyond engineering into statistics and data analysis, basically. So what is GNU Octave? GNU Octave is a scientific programming language which is mostly focused on numerical computations. Most people know it as the open source alternative of MATLAB, or like the freebie clone of MATLAB, which is kind of true. I mean, we share the same syntax, but also it's a project on its own. It's a free and open source project. So to give you a bit of a historical background of this project, it's not new, actually. It was conceived back in the late 80s, and it was conceived actually as a tool, as an education tool. They needed to make a scripted language, so to speak, in order to assist the students actually to understand computations in chemical reactions. So, and well, back then the idea was like, well, we can do that in Fortran, which was what scientists did use at the time. But then again, the whole rationale behind that was that, yes, but we don't want the students actually paying attention to all the what is going on with the Fortran language and trying to debug the compiler and so on. We want to make a language that is straightforward, has a very easy learning curve, and actually students can actually dedicate their focus and their effort in understanding the underlying mathematics. So this initial idea, well, still stands today, like 36 years later or so. So development of Octave started back in 1992 by a guy named John W. Eaton. Well, thankfully, he's still around with us. So the initial release was in 1993. And basically now we're almost, I mean, we're almost at Octave 11, which is like we've just made the release candidate like 10 days ago, and hopefully there will be the major release within this month if everything goes well. So during these 34 years, of course, there've been more than 450 contributors in this project, because 35 years, it's 35 years, it's quite a long time, as you understand, but nevertheless, it's always been kind of a small project in terms of the actual people that were always engaged. So during these 34 years, there's always been just a handful of people being engaged for certain periods and then like leaving and so on. So we're not a big project in this aspect. We don't have like a large community. We do have a large user base, though. we're kind of thin in terms of developers and contributors. We don't have a foundation supporting or so. I mean, our concept is that basically we're just a repository and a code base and a group of people who are actually working on that. And of course, we are licensed, I mean, the license is like a general public license version 3. So, because actually the Octave project is actually part of the GNU project, and it was listed back then, and we continue that. So a few things about the Octave. It's written in C, mostly. Well, it's an interpreted language, of course, and the scripting language of Octave actually, well, it's almost identical. Well, it is identical to MATLAB, but it has a few extensions that work also in Octave that are Octave-specific. And it can be extended by using dynamic libraries written in C++, and this is an integral part of the Octave interpreter, which makes it quite easy to actually implement or link any kind of library into Octave without any intermediate, without the need of intermediate libraries or other codes. We use an OpenGL backend for plotting, which is quite useful in most statistical and data analysis tasks. And it comes both with a graphical user interface, to which I will also refer later on in my talk. And of course, it has a traditional a command line interface that you can run. Last but not least, Octave in itself is also a library. So whatever you can do with the interpreter and like the interpreter with the language, actually you can use Octave as a library into your own projects. So, well, of course, when you link to Octave, you have to be also a free project because you have to abide with the GPL version 3 library, of course. Well, but the potential is there nevertheless. So the key features of Octave that makes it apart from other interpreted languages is that it has a built-in support for multidimensional arrays and sparse matrices. And this is basically an integral part of the Octave library because it was built upon this concept that you need to do multi-dimensional arrays. So basically, when you're when you have like a color picture that you need to process somehow in Octave, you don't really need to do some sort of workaround or just load some external library that you do in, for example, in R or Python. It's already there. Like you load the data, and it's natively multidimensional. And this helps a lot because actually you can have a substantial speed because, of course, Octave also supports full broadcasting in all math operations, comparison or Boolean operations, both to dense and sparse matrices. So this makes it quite easy actually to write a highly vectorized code. Which makes the processing of the interpreted language quite quite fast. So other key features is that we do support nested indexing, which plays very well with multidimensional arrays and other and actually writing vectorized code, especially with complex structures. As I said, like we have an OpenGL backend, so there is extensive plotting capabilities that they're built in. We don't have to rely on external packages like ggplot or whatever else. And of course, there is an extensive set of core functions that deal with geometry, linear algebra. We have like ordinary differential equation solvers, like a set of them. you get statistics, set operations, etc. And of course, and this is, well, I consider this one of the very important aspects of Octave, is that there is an integrated testing suite, which is used for Octave internally, but it is also used for all the packages that actually can be used as add-ons to the Octave programming language. So, if you've used Octave before, most likely you've heard of Octave Forge for sure, and Octave packages basically. Octave Forge is the legacy system that used to be. It was actually it started back in 2000, and basically it was kind of a sibling project to the GNU Octave project that actually was dealing with the packages that would extend the Octave functionality for specific needs and for specific scientific fields. So you would get like a statistics package, you would get a package for optimizations, you would get like geographic packages dealing with Cartesian mapping, etc., etc. So, well, as I said, the Octave community, like, well, the Octave developers team has always been like slim in terms of number of people. So the original Octave Forge package system came to a stall basically somewhere about 2014, so to speak. And there were problems actually maintaining it. It also had to do that it was, when it was built back in the 2000, it was built with an old system and old concepts in mind in terms of packaging. So basically back in 2020, there has been a shift. We changed the whole packaging and, well, actually we moved it to GitHub. The previous Octave Forge was hosted in SourceForge. On GitHub, we make good use of the continuous integration capabilities, which are free for open source projects, until now, at least. So, and the concept was that to make an automated system for publishing packages, so that other maintainers, like other users, can publish their own code without the necessity of any of the core Octave developers being actively engaged or involved in this. And the idea behind this was to actually be able to help people to expand the use of Octave. Because what Octave has been mostly used so far was basically doing linear algebra and matrix computations. And this is why you don't get like, when you hear like doing statistics and data analysis with Octave, it sounds a bit weird, right? Because nowadays most people either use R or Python, for example. But nevertheless, it did work. The transition that we did, like the Octave Forge used to have something like 55 packages, and during the last years, the majority of those were actually not maintained. Whereas with a new system, the Octave Package Index, actually we have more than 130 packages, and with more than 100 of them being actively developed and maintained. So actually, from our perspective, it did worth the effort of making this transition. So what is the Octave Package Index? Basically, it's a single JSON file that it is automatically generated with all the packages that are being listed on the Octave Package Index. And basically, what we actually do is that we have set up continuous integration to actually monitor and, most importantly, test all the packages. So any of you, you can write your own particular package that you want to use in your research project, in the class, wherever. And you can actually publish it there and have it readily available for your students, for your colleagues, to install it in Octave. And basically what we do, actually we make sure that it goes through the continuous integration testing, that it doesn't break Octave when you install. And the other thing that we also have nowadays is that basically Octave also checks that for the integrity of what is being downloaded, which was a long-standing issue and request from users, of course, and we did that. Of course, this doesn't mean that you can't you still have to know what you're downloading, because we were just testing that the code, that the package doesn't download. But of course, you're downloading a programming language, so you have, when you download a package, you have to actually keep this in mind. But anyway, all this you can actually just install it in Octave with a simple command pkg install and the package that you want to install. And this actually makes it quite helpful, not only for colleagues, but especially in classrooms, at least to my experience, because it has been quite a few times that I just had to actually make something for the class and then make a release to have it available and then ask the students to download it, either in the lab or in their personal computers, and to work with that, which is quite handy in certain circumstances. So during my research, I've mostly been dealing with population statistics in biological anthropology and doing a classification for biological parameters. So so using Octave basically for the most part was actually dealing with the statistics package. And this is how I started contributing back in 2016-17, I think. And then after a certain point I said and because there were no maintainers actually, I said okay, I took over the maintenance and the main development back in 2022. And because I've been using this for the classes as well, I did put a substantial effort to actually expand it and make it, well, not complete, but as complete as I could. So nowadays, the latest statistics release is 1.8, and there are more than 450 functions and class objects that are supported. There is support for more than 30 different distributions, and as far as I know, it's the only package that it does support support so many distributions in a single package. And these distributions include random generators, distributors, physics, log likelihoods, etc. Of course, there is a very large set of functions for hypothesis testing. And the most important is the 11,000 unit tests that are integrated in the statistics package. One of the important aspects of Octave, both core Octave and a lot of packages, is that we do pay a lot of attention in regressions and testing. It's not about writing some code and make it somehow work, but we really have to make sure that what we produce as a result is correct. Well, at least to our best effort that we can, because after all, we're still making a library for numerical computation. And if the output is not numerically correct, basically it's kind of useless, no matter how fast it is or how so on. And of course, in the statistics package, I've put a lot of, I've made a lot of integrated algorithms for classification, the regressions. I've written these because I needed them for my own research. But after some point that I also started teaching, I also found it quite handy that I can use Octave to actually teach statistics. And I'll get to that in a few minutes. So the other thing about the statistics package in particular, and well, basically all the packages I maintain, but also Octave, is apart from testing, we also have a focus for good documentation. And because it is important to be able to, when you write the function yourself, you know how it works and you know how to call it and so on. But when you want your student to write it, well, the only way to get there is to actually write proper documentation, which is a work on its own. I mean, writing documentation for a function usually takes the same amount of time as actually writing the code for the function. So, and this is just examples from the online documentation from the statistics package, like this is the function for a geometric mean. And this documentation is also automatically generated with another package I've written, the PKG Octave Doc. So basically, what it does is it takes all the help doc strings that are embedded in the function files and also the demos that are available, and it produces this online documentation for users to be able to see, to read how to use the function, and also find certain examples. So working with statistics, well, inevitably you end up needing certain data types, and especially tables, which is something that Core Octave lacks. And well, they are available in MATLAB. Other languages have their own implementations for tables, like R has these data frames concept, and etc. So over the past 3 years now, I've started implementing the data types package from scratch, and the idea is to make table and categorical arrays available, because that's the two things basically that I need for the statistics package. But doing that, then you get into the rabbit hole and you start. You realize that then you need to make like daytime arrays and duration arrays and string arrays, etc. So I ended up with a data types package, which is, it's not production ready. There is still functionality missing, but also what is already there, it is working, because as I said, what we build, we also build testing for that. So we know that if it's working, at least it's working correctly. So it won't mess your data. So if you call a function and it's not there, it will not work. So and this is what you get, for example, which is like similar to how MATLAB actually uses tables. And this also, when you do it for yourself, when you do it like for yourself during your research, it doesn't really matter. You can have it like you can have your numbers in CSV and your data in CSV files, load it in a matrix, do your computations, and get away with it. But when you get to the class and you actually have to teach students how to actually use the data, load them from CSV files, and use them to do an ANOVA, etc., being able to show the data in tabular format actually helps a lot. So, we are in the education dev room, of course, and most likely a lot of you will be wondering, okay, that's nice work that you guys are doing with MATLAB, thank you very much, so what's the education in it? So, basically from my own personal experience, which is not huge, I've been teaching like classes for the past 5 or 6 years now, like mostly in undergraduate students. From my experience is that And the other thing is that I haven't been teaching in in CA school. Like the students I do is like from humanities, they're biologists, they're people doing social sciences, and they want to and they need to learn statistics. So basically, you don't have like tech students or STEM students, and this is quite important because I mean, what we are dealing today is that in the class is that basically we have this AI thing, and the question is like to AI or not to AI, basically. So a lot of people saying that okay, you will just have the AI to code anything you want, but the thing and it kind of works. Like if you want to plot something, the AI will do it for you today, like some compiler. But teaching students actually to understand statistical concepts and apply them, they still have to understand them in order to be able to apply them, even if they use an AI assistant to do it for them. Because at the end of the day, I mean, if you go to the grocery and like buy something that costs 2 euros and you pay 5, if you don't know math, well, the best basic math, the best calculator in the world will not help you because you don't know what to do with 2 and 5. At the end. And the same applies with statistics. So, from my perspective, is that what are the key aspects that make Octave a great programming language for teaching students statistics and data types? Well, to begin with, indexing starts at 1 instead of 0. Most of us, we are like developers, programmers, and so on. And at the end of the day, we are all, I mean, our favorite language, each one has its own, but it's the language that we use the most and that we know. I mean, you would guess that my favorite language is Octave and C++. This is what I write, this is what I know. But for first year students, well, they don't know anything. So basically, every little detail matters in how much they will be able, how easy it is to attract their attention and get them involved. So the other benefit is that syntax naturally resembles mathematical notation. X equals 5, that's it. You see it on the blackboard, you just type it, and it's the same. And also the self-intuitive vectorization syntax, which also has to do with the way Octave syntax is doing array indexing and also broadcasting. And last but not least, well, it's the modern yet simple graphical user interface that Octave has, which also has an integrated debugger, a workspace viewer, and a variable editor. And at least to my experience in the class, it has been very, very helpful in actually getting students to understand basic concepts of programming. And I think this is highly important. And this is why I wanted to talk to you about GNU Octave in education, at least from my own experience over the past few years. So thank you very much for your attention, and open to any questions. Ah, okay. Well, are there questions? Yes. Oh, well, would you like to? Oops, sorry. Would like to
use that? So, R and Octave. I understand there is a lot of overlap, but what would be the main distinction? And I also want to like a follow-up question. Last year there was a talk about robotics in education. So with R, I know it's not recommended for embedded because of memory reliance on OS and other reasons. Do you know if there is, what's the situation with Octave and its use in embedded systems?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Well, I don't know much about embedded system, to be honest. So I know you can write code in MATLAB and have it translated to embedded systems. I don't think you can do that with Octave. There are packages in Octave that you actually interface with Arduino, for example, or you can interface with a low I/O systems through serial ports, USB, etc., etc. So that's regarding the second question you made. Regarding the first question, so about R. Well, R is mostly used for statistical computations. And you can do a lot of stuff. But as I said in the previous slide, well, it's a very, it has a very bad syntax. Okay, no offense to the R people. I mean, they're doing great work. Well, to be honest, I use R actually to write tests, because I also, for example, implement an ANOVA, I test it against MATLAB. I also test it against R, just to see, because all you also get like differences due to compiler optimizations, etc., etc. So, it's a great software, but in terms of education, when you are like in the high school, or when you have like first year students who know nothing about programming languages, you have to explain them why X less dash 5 is equivalent to X equal 5, so to speak, if you know what I understand. So, or for example, if you use Python and you want to do some vectorization, and you have all this semicolon, semicolon, comma, semicolon, a number, a minus number, indexing sort of, if you know Python, it's like, yeah, okay. But in education, we're dealing with students, especially in my field, where I teach like students from social sciences. I put a lot of effort to convince them that you need some sort of knowledge in data analysis. You need to be able to actually write 5 lines of code and merge two CSV files to do your data analysis, instead of copy-pasting stuff in SPSS. So, it's... I hope I this answered your question. And anybody else? Ah, it's time up. Okay. Yeah. Is there time for the last question, or...? Yeah.
Thank you. Is there any integration with Jupyter Notebook?
I think there is an ongoing effort by Curan. There is a company, there is a French company, I think, that they've done integration with Jupyter and WebAssembly. But I don't know much about it, to be honest, to be more informative, I'm afraid. But I know that... there is some effort to integrate the... they do have an Octave kernel, but I haven't used it. I don't know much about it. No. Okay. Okay, thank you very much, all.